eins, aber wir kriegen das irgendwie hin. Wahrscheinlich wird bloß, dass das halt gesagt wird, dass Sachen nicht wechseln.
Das ist ein guter
All right, folks, here we go. Now on stage we have Matthias Geisler, this guy. And he just mentioned that if you're interested in the slides, we will find a way to share them with you. And I hope to get the other slides as well. Check out our channels for the IntelliJ giveaway on Slack and on Twitter and on Mastodon. And that's your mic now.
Hello. It's the first time I speak with a microphone, to be honest, so it's super new to me. However, though, let's speak about Kotlin and Rust. Isn't that a great topic for today? And how we can write one bug and ship it to as many as platforms as we can. I think that is a very good idea. We should do that. However, though, before we start, just for your sanity, Holger just said we will provide you the slides, and I also have an example repository. I shared it somehow with you as well, so you don't need to be worried that there's all in that. Okay, so what I will speak today about is why should we ever try to put Rust into Kotlin multi-platform. By the way, are there any Rust developers here? One! Great, unicorn. So why we even want to have Rust in our KMP, how does that look like, what are the cons and the pitfalls, and I can tell you there are many of them, and what are the to-dos if you want to progress further with the topic. And by the way, this wonderful slide deck is provided by my employer. I have to make a short advertisement because they pay the right. I've done that now. Great. Why Rust? Kotlin is great, and multi-platform is great. I hope we all agree on that, because we all want only one language to ship our code to all the platforms. And maybe a second language is okay, but three is already too much. Ideally, we just want to have one. So, as I said, Kotlin is great, and I really love Kotlin, and I do it for a couple of years now, especially multi-platform. I developed a couple of SDKs, and I also have my own mocking library, so check it out. However, though, what's to say about Kotlin, there is missing some functionality, which is not super easy to implement, but fortunately, Rust has that obviously already. For example, crypto libraries. That's a big thing. Or currently, there is this ICU package in development, which is dealing with daytime formatting and other good stuff, which you might already stumble upon in Android. But to have a multi-platform version of that is very, very unlikely, because the crate itself is developed by the language people themselves, and I didn't see any activity in this regard, for example, for multi-platform. Anyhow, also, there is might be some behavior on multi-platform libraries you wouldn't expect, especially not at core libraries like Daytime. If you compare the output of time zones, for example, you will be surprised. Let me call it like that. And if you write some tests and you are thinking they should be the same, I can tell you they are not. So also here, if you run over the case, maybe such functionality is already covered in Rust, so you don't have to re-implement the wheel, which is also great. And Kotlin Native itself, if you ever had to write it, it can be really a menace. It just doesn't look great. Yeah, and it's super hard to read sometimes, and it's also, for that reason, super hard to maintain. If you have a native language where you can write it on the bottom level, like Rust, it's much better, because the code in itself is much more readable. Yeah. And of course, you get out of Rust a much better performance, which you need, for example, if you do machine learning. That's also a good argument. So what are the soft arguments? For example, if you speak with some businesses nowadays, startups and so on, you will discover that people are more likely to adopt Rust than Kotlin, which was super surprising for me as well. But I speak with or spoken over the last couple months with a lot of people, and I have no good answer why this is the case, even with KMP around, which is, in most cases, I think, sufficient. So. Also, another business requirement is that the business itself might want to have the smallest team size possible, alone for budget reasons. And if you can do it maybe with two people instead of four people, they will go for the solution with two people, which is maybe backed up by Rust. And one very big argument for Rust is WASM support, which is Kotlin completely lacking right now, which is in the development, I know, but it's far from the state what Rust already has. And we have also to think about ourselves as developers. If you might be not aware, last year was a very great year, not only for Kotlin due to the new memory management model, it was also for Rust. Rust did a lot of stuff, and there was happening a lot of stuff, and 1Password launched their libraries, which are written in Rust, and only a very thin front-end layer is then done on the platforms. And they also have open source library for that. I will provide you with the link later when the slide deck goes around. So check it out. And the interesting thing is here they took the Rust layer until the view model, so right until the top. So, and that's quite impressive with this kind of complexity. So, and what is maybe important for us, or at least for me, I really love the idea of multi-platform, as I already stated. And to drive that further as much as possible, I think that's a good goal. And for, of course, because we can do it, maybe we should try it out. So how does that look like? Not to scare you, I have just a small portion of code examples. What you do on Android and JVM is basically GNI bindings. You might have seen that. You might already know that, and I bore you with that already. But that is what you are have to dealing with that. But the good news is here, there is already a very good tooling there for Rust. So for example, what you see there, can you see my mouse here? Yes. This is coming from a crate in Rust, from the GNI crate, surprise, which provides you all the wrapping and transferring from Java or JVM into Rust and back, which is super nice to use and easy to use even. So just to be aware of that. So how does that look on the Kotlin side? Something like that. So you have a couple of definitions. In this line, you just load the library, and if you've done it all correctly and somehow ship also the library and your resources with, that's it. Then you can use it like a normal library in Kotlin itself, which is great, I think. So here are some helpers for you. As I already mentioned, there's this GNI crate. There's also a NDK crate for Android, which is also super nice to use, so check it out. FlappyGain is a generator for bindings in Rust for Kotlin and Java. So I don't like it, to be honest, because it takes out of much of flexibility, which you might need in some cases. Handwritten stuff might be more work-intensive, but less error-prone. But it's only my opinion. So this native loader is just that you can easily ship the library, and this plugin you will need simply to compile the entire Rust into your Android plugin. So how does it look on JavaScript? That's an easy one because we don't ship it as something we bind directly, we bind it indirectly over WASM, because as I already mentioned, Rust has a super cool WASM support and has all the crates to back them up. So that's on the Rust side, like the other function, and that's on the Kotlin side. That's a little bit more work intensive because you have to load them asynchronously, which you see here. And that brings a trade-off with it, because the entire library or the entire binding has to be asynchronous. So you work then with promises and so on, and that can be super annoying, especially if you then go with React and so on. But it works, and it works sufficiently well and surprisingly well. So, and by the way, this is also a reason why many, many web developers these days also going for Rust. So. And you have also, as I mentioned, proper tooling for that. You have WASM pack, which does all the hard work for you. NPM is just the bundler. You already know that, perhaps. And you have you need to have an understanding of promises. That's it. So Now we come to native, and that's the hardest nut to crack, to be honest. What you have to do basically is writing a C binding and a C bridge, which just means you allocate your stuff on the native side, ship it to the other side in Kotlin, and somehow get your allocated stuff deallocated. This is the most potential for memory leaks, but it works somehow, surprisingly, sometimes. And also, you will encounter there many problems, especially with the linker, when it comes to iOS. But it works still, not good. So that's the Kotlin side. So as I said, here you see the deallocation, and this is just the bridging. So you copy the entire string, put it in, get the result back, copy it back, and then you deallocate. So it's not that much. You could possibly even automate it, but it's not nice yet. Maybe there will be something better in the future. Who knows? And also one key ingredient you have to do is writing a definition file. You might have seen that if you ever had to deal with native Kotlin. And that's also something which can take a lot of time out of you because it's also very error-prone in my experience. Maybe somebody else has better skills than me. I would gladly hear about it. So to do Rust with Kotlin Native, you first of all need some Gradle skills just to make it all work together. You need a lot of patience and a lot of time and good nerves. Because sometimes it's really like that. The one day it works, then you have an update on, let's say, Xcode, and then it doesn't work anymore. And that hits me today. Because I wrote a backup overnight, and I thought maybe it's a good idea, but it wasn't. So currently my native part isn't compiling anymore because the linker says simply no. So what are the cons and the pitfalls? First of all, debugging is tricky. You don't want to debug this at all because you have the Kotlin stack and you have the Rust stack. So my advice is here, write test, do TDD. That will take all the heat out of it. So far, I tried it, to be honest. And this especially goes if you do a co-concurrency. So if you do something with threads on the Kotlin side, if you do something with threads on the Rust side, it gets even harder. So test your code and go even for TDD. It will save you a lot of time and nerves. So Rust is bad with reactive programming, or let's say it doesn't have this pattern yet. Maybe there is something coming up in the future. I would love to see that in Tokyo. But that's something what I was talking about with somebody from 1Password about, because that means if you go up to the view model on the top, it's a little bit different to deal with this kind of stuff, because then you have to write the view model in a way that takes over the whole reactive stuff and so on, and that's also not that nice and can a little bit pollute your entire architecture. So about the C bridge, I already spoke a little bit, so that's not fun. I spoke about this point in JavaScript and complex data. That's also a thing. Do yourself a favor. Don't try to bind single fields or properties into Rust. Just take your data structure and just make a data class or something, serialize it, and then send it to Rust as a string. It's much easier. You save a lot of time and also a lot of nerves. And also here a hint, I tried a little bit and also spoke with other people. It's the best approach and the fastest approach is at the current state JSON. So the Rust JSON parser is really, really fast. And you can... And you can even make via JSON schema sharing this scheme on both platforms, so you still have one definition and it works on both sides. That's actually nice. So the first one, don't expect help or grievance or anything from anybody because that's just a playing field. So I know there are some crazy people out there who are doing that, like me, and don't know why. Maybe they have no friends like me also. But don't expect any help. And for your own sanity, try to find at least or speak with Rust people. They understand the pain. Kotlin people, not anymore since the new memory model is here and you don't have freezing errors and something. The learning curve is quite high because you basically learn a new language. And if you ever tried a little bit out Rust, you will know there is a very big valley of pain. And yeah, the last one is simply, if you know Kotlin native a little bit, you know that you can't just share, if you ship different models via Xcode frameworks or Swift package management, if you have one library, you can't